Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Power Hour. My name is Alex Newman. I am guest hosting for my friend Daniel Brigman. It's great to be with you. It is a crazy day. I'm sitting here in Florida, and apparently we have a hurricane barreling toward us, but there are things much more concerning to me than hurricanes, like Beijing Biden, threatening to send people door to door to vaccinate everyone. Really? Absolutely bonkers, and yet he said it. He said it. Okay, who is going to be first? Well, I can tell you what. I'm not a doctor. I am not an expert on vaccines or medicine or pharmacy or anything like that, but I do know a few things. I was very blessed in 2009, right before the birth of our first child. My editor from the New American Magazine called me up, and this was during the swine flu hysteria. He says, Alex, I need you to research this swine flu stuff. Write some articles up, and maybe we'll use them as a cover story. So I spent a month digging into the swine flu, and at that time I really had no inclination that there was anything wrong with vaccines. I just knew what everybody else knew. Well, of course you need your vaccines, right? I mean, it's just what you need, because apparently your immune system needs things injected into your bloodstream to be able to function properly. I mean, you know, who was I to question this accepted wisdom? But as I started looking into the swine flu vaccine and the narrative that was developing around it, at that time they were even talking about using the National Guard to deploy this monstrosity, I started digging into the broader issue of vaccines. And I'll tell you what, I became extremely concerned. Even all the standard talking points, well, what about polio, right? We'd still all be dying from polio if it weren't for vaccines. Even that turned out not to be true. The more I researched, the more I realized, wow, vaccines are not nearly as safe as we have been led to believe. They are also not nearly as effective as we had been led to believe. In fact, speaking of polio, I had found a testimony from Jonas Salk, the inventor of the polio vaccine, to Congress. He said, guys, stop using this. This is the reason why we have so much polio. And, of course, that is still the case today. There was an article that appeared in the Indian Journal of Medical Ethics where they found in 1 year 50,000 people had gotten polio paralysis, or what do they call it, acute flaccid polio paralysis, something like that. From the polio vaccine. They said it was twice as deadly as getting it from wild polio. And then, this just happened in 2019 in November. The Associated Press released an article, and they actually said something incredible. In the headline, they said that most of the polio in the world today was now coming from the vaccine rather than the wild virus. And they cited the World Health Organization as the source for this claim. And then they went on and they talked about this investigation that the WHO had done. And they said that the people in charge seemed to be very unconcerned about this bizarre thing that was happening, that their polio vaccines were giving a bunch of people polio. Then I looked into Kenya and I found out that they had been giving little girls and women of childbearing age these so-called tetanus vaccines. And the Kenya Catholic Doctors Association got suspicious and they sent some of these vaccines all to laboratories all over the world, and they found that every single one had included, had been laced with something called beta human chorionic gonadotropin, beta HCG. This is a hormone that women's bodies make that is absolutely critical to carrying a pregnancy to term. And so what was happening is that as it was being injected into their bodies with a vaccine, their body was treating this hormone as if it were some sort of invader that the immune system needed to destroy. Well, you can imagine what happened next, right? The women ended up sterilized because they couldn't keep this hormone in their system. Their immune system would attack it, and guess what? They ended up sterilized. And you had every single Catholic bishop in Kenya, and I'm not Catholic, by the way, but you had every Catholic in Kenya, every Catholic bishop sign a letter saying, look, this is a covert sterilization program. It's not a vaccine program. You guys need to stop taking it. Wowzers. Okay. This, of course, was funded by Bill Gates. These vaccines are being distributed by the United Nations. So there is so much strange haze around all these vaccine programs. Then you come to the COVID so-called vaccine, which is not even a vaccine in the traditional sense. And they are telling us that we need to take it. We need to give it to our children. Otherwise, the Delta variant is going to get you. Oh, my goodness. And you remember Sleepy Joe Beijing Biden had even said that we wouldn't be allowed to meet with our families on 4th of July if we didn't have sufficient uptake for his little shot, which I refuse to call a vaccine. Well, That was interesting. They didn't meet their targets, and yet I can proudly report that I met my family with my family, and we had a great time celebrating our nation's independence. It was just phenomenal. And I want to talk a little bit about our nation's independence today, too. But I just thought, you know, Biden, Beijing Biden, talking about sending people door to door for vaccines. It's just chilling. It's absolutely crazy. And I've done a lot of interviews, and I'm sure you've heard some of these experts speak, but I've done a lot of interviews with some of the top experts in the field on these things. I interviewed Dr. Peter McCullough for my show at The New American. He has more citations in the National Library of Medicine than any other doctor on these subjects, on the treatment of COVID and things like this. And he told me that if there were 50 deaths associated with some kind of product in the VAERS system, the government's vaccine surveillance program, then they would be pulled off the market almost immediately. And yet for the so-called COVID vaccine, and I put vaccine in air quotes, there were 5,000. Now I think there's over 6,000. And yet it continues. Something's very wrong here. And at LinkedIn, I don't know if you guys saw this, LinkedIn just banned one of the pioneers in the development of these mRNA so-called vaccines from the platform for highlighting the risks of the mRNA vaccines. So I don't know about you guys, but I personally will not be taking these shots, whether they send someone to my door or not. I'm very blessed to live in a city and county and state where I assume that our local county and state government will interpose. And I want to talk a little bit about interposition before we end today. I'll be with you for the full 2 hours. We will be bringing on some exciting guests, so I hope you'll stay tuned for that. We've got Misha Popoff coming on soon. He is a former inspector with the USDA for organic things, a very well-read individual with a lot of knowledge on a lot of different areas. We don't always agree on anything, on everything, but I thought he'd be a fun guest to bring on. We'll talk a little bit more about these COVID things. And after that, we have my friend Tim Marden on. He is a local elected official. He's on the city council in a city here not too far from me. And he's just a really interesting guy, very knowledgeable on local government and what local governments can do. And he's been serving in local government for 10 years. So I thought, you know, they say all politics is local. So I thought, let's bring in somebody from local politics and let's talk about what you can do at the local level and how you can get involved, folks. It's important that we get involved, right? If we only let the bad guys run the system, we're going to end up with big problems. So we'll be bringing on Popoff and Marden in the not too distant future. We got about 15 minutes before we bring on Misha. And so I wanted to talk about just some of the stories that I've been working on, some of the stuff that you're not hearing about that is so critical before we talk a little bit about America's incredible heritage. Then we'll go to Popoff. Some things that really struck me. I wrote an article last week or a couple weeks ago at the New American about Pastor John MacArthur. He is one of the top evangelical pastors in America, maybe the world. There's probably tens of thousands of pastors all across the United States that really closely follow what he says. And, you know, I've had some disagreements with Pastor MacArthur. I think he's a good Bible scholar. I think he's sincere in his love for the Lord and his love for the Word of God. But he has had some different interpretations that I would say, in my opinion, are problematic. One of the things that he's said many times over the last few decades is that our founding fathers in this country were sinning by declaring independence from the British government. They were sinning. Okay, that's what Pastor John MacArthur said. Because his interpretation of Romans 13 was basically, I mean, unless the government's telling you to, like, murder or something, you've got to obey. And that's just, you know, you always got to obey. But our founding fathers did not see things that way. And our founding fathers were Christian men. Okay, our history as a nation is thoroughly Christian. If you go back to the Mayflower Compact, they said that they undertook this voyage for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. Okay, that's why they came to America. That's what they said. Okay, then you had the Articles of Confederation. This was adopted in 1643 for the United Colonies of New England. They said, we all came into these parts of America with one and the same end and aim. Namely, they said, to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ and to enjoy the liberties of the gospel in purity with peace. And notice they said all, right? It's not we, some of us came here for those reasons. They said, we all came here to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are the churches today, or the pastors in America today, thinking in those terms? I would submit to you that many of them are not, okay? And I want to get to this issue of sinning. And before I come back, and I do have some praise for John MacArthur, because I think he has, at the very least, softened his position here now that the enemy is at the gates. I don't know if you guys saw, but they threatened to throw him in prison for refusing to shut down his church. He's like, oh, that's all right. I'll start a jail ministry, which I thought was a really great response. I mean, that's just positively brilliant. But the history leading up to our nation's independence is just fascinating. In between 1740 and 1760, we had something called the Great Revival. We had preachers like Jonathan Edwards and George Whitfield just preaching these fiery sermons. I mean, churches were bursting at the seams with people. And our founding fathers, of course, would have been children or young men during this time and absorbing all of this. And, you know, they would have also been familiar with some of the history that has really been wiped out of our history textbook. So we go back to the Magna Carta, right? And in the Magna Carta, the Christian people of Britain said to King John, look, you do not have infinite authority, okay? You have limited delegated authority. Your authority comes from God. That's what the scriptures say. And that means it must be used consistent with what God says. Okay, God says the purpose of government is to punish evil. Open up Romans 13, okay? God said the purpose of government is to protect the good. And here you are, King John. You are not doing those things. And if your authority comes from God and you're misusing it in that way, that is completely unacceptable. And so they actually forced King John to sign the Magna Carta. This was a thoroughly Christian document that paved the way for civil liberty for 1,000 years, okay? And this is the true history of our civilization that we need to be familiar with, okay? Then we fast forward 400 years, and we have King Charles. He seems to have forgotten what King John agreed to, and so he's behaving as a dictator. In fact, such a dictator that he even wanted to dissolve Parliament. And the Parliament said no, and under the leadership of Oliver Cromwell, he was a Puritan military leader, he actually raised up an army. And they said, look, King, King Charles, you cannot behave in that way. That's simply unacceptable. See, you have it all wrong. It's not Rex Lex, Rex being Latin for king, Lex being Latin for law. It's not Rex Lex. It's not the king is the law, right? Rather, it's Lex Rex. The law is king, and you, dear king, are subject to the law, and the law comes from God. And this is what our founders believed. I will get back to that in a moment. But they were so passionate about this belief that they actually raised up an army, and they put the king on trial for treason, okay? Can you imagine that? They put the king of England on trial for treason, and he was eventually found guilty, and he lost his head. He was beheaded. Okay, you would think this would be some pretty important history to teach our young people, but of course we don't teach that anymore. And so today there are two statues of individuals outside of the British Parliament. One of those statues is actually Oliver Cromwell, and you can pull it up online. You can see it. He's got a sword in one hand and a Bible in the other. Why has this man been wiped from our history? Okay, and he actually gave his soldiers, his men, he gave them each a copy of the Christian Soldiers' Penny Bible. It wasn't the entire Bible, but it was a lot of relevant verses for them. Okay, and our founding fathers really held these beliefs, and they knew this story very well. Let's go to Sam Adams in 1772, the father of the American Revolution. He created the Committees of Correspondence, kind of like the big tech censorship of the day, right? They weren't allowed to speak too openly. They weren't allowed to publish their thoughts without getting in trouble. And so they created these Committees of Correspondence to circulate information among the colonists. And the first document ever to circulate through these committees was written by Sam Adams. It was called The Rights of the Colonists. And I want to quote from this document because it shows you where the founding fathers got their ideas, right? A lot of people will tell you today, oh, it was Masonic. It was Enlightenment era thinking. No, folks, it was not. It came from the Bible. Yes, there were some Masons among the founders, but not the kind of Masonry that had been infiltrated by the Illuminati in Europe. And yes, there were some enlightenment-minded thinkers, but really, these ideas came straight from the Bible, folks. So here is what Sam Adams wrote in Rights of the Colonists, the very first document to circulate through the Committees of Correspondence. He said, "The rights of the colonists as Christians may be best understood by reading and carefully studying the Institutes of the Great Lawgiver and Head of the Christian Church, which are to be found clearly written and promulgated in the New Testament." He said these included, first, a right to life, second, a right to liberty, third, a right to property, together with a right to defend them. So where did they get these ideas from? They said very clearly, right, from the Institutes of the Great Lawgiver and Head of the Christian Church, which, by the way, is Jesus Christ, and they're found where? Written and promulgated in the New Testament. So that brings me back to John MacArthur. OK, Okay. John MacArthur was ordered by the governor of California, Governor Newsom, to shut down his church because, oh my goodness, a COVID. Ah, everybody shut down your church. And if you do have a church, you got to socially distance. You got to put diapers on your face. You got to, you can only have a fraction of the amount of people you normally have, and you must obey all other decrees. And, John MacArthur said, no, sorry. Look, okay. Yes, you're the governor. And yes, you have some authority, but the head of our church is Jesus Christ. It is not Governor Newsom. And so we will not be complying with your decrees. In fact, we will continue to have church and we will continue to do what we've been doing, whether you like it or not. And then when they threatened him with jail, I told you guys earlier, he said, hey, I'll start a jail ministry. Okay. So I think that was really incredibly significant, guys. Partly because John MacArthur is such a celebrated person in evangelical world today. And there's something else I want to bring up to you guys about evangelical world as well. But something incredible on the abortion front. But, I mean, this is just, it's so significant, guys, that one of the preachers of total submission to government is now coming around. He preached a sermon. This is what caused me to write this article. When government rewards evil and punishes good. And so he mocks Joe Biden, and he says that, Joe Biden said that systemic racism, which doesn't exist, and then white supremacy, which doesn't exist with any power, and then global warming, which doesn't exist, and if it does, God's in charge. But he says those are the biggest threats to America. And John MacArthur kind of laughed, the congregation laughs. And he says, in reality, the greatest threat to this nation is the government. And he's exactly right, folks. He's exactly right. And I think a lot of people have been waiting a lot of decades for him to say something like that. It's hugely significant, guys. He also says that when government starts doing the opposite of what it's supposed to do, it forfeits its authority. He says it yields up its authority, just like a father would forfeit his authority if he began leading his family into evil. So this is really different from what John MacArthur has been preaching for decades. And there's really been some terrible interpretations of Romans 13. In fact, some fake Christian leaders in Nazi Germany said, hey, Romans 13, you got to do what Mr. Hitler says, or in other totalitarian governments. Hey, well, he's the government, so you got to do what he says. And there have been efforts to promote that view in America, right? The FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, actually created what they called a clergy response team that would deploy in crises to basically have the pastors tell their congregations that you must obey government. If they tell you to get on the crazy train to your crazy fun camp, then you need to obey. And I think that is really a false interpretation of Romans 13. We need to resist that. Like the Apostle Paul resisted that, right? If you go to Acts 5:29, we know that it's better to obey God than men. And that's what our founding fathers believed. They also believed that God's law was supreme, and government can't legislate in areas where that would contradict government. And you don't have to believe me, right? If you look at the writings of the founding fathers, the most quoted individual was the Apostle Paul. Okay. The most quoted legal scholar by the founding fathers was a gentleman by the name of Sir William Blackstone. He wrote the commentaries on the laws of England in 1766, and this, for centuries, was the bedrock of American jurisprudence. And I want to give you just a couple quotes from what he wrote. He talked about a higher law upon which all laws must be based, and of course that was God's law. He said God's law were, he referred to God's laws as those superior laws, and he said upon these two foundations, the law of nature and the law of revelation, that would be of course God's written law in the Bible, depend all human laws. That is to say, no laws should be suffered to contradict these. Okay. He went on to say that God's law is binding over all the globe, in all countries and at all times. No laws are of any validity if contrary to this. And such of them as are valid derive all their force and all their authority, mediately or immediately, from this original. The doctrines thus delivered we call the revealed or divine law, and they are to be found only in the Holy Scriptures. Okay. This was the most cited legal scholar by our founding fathers, guys. Anybody who tells you that the First Amendment was meant to remove all influence of God or the Bible from government has no idea what they're talking about. That's the generous explanation. If they do have an idea what they're talking about, that would make them a liar. Okay. They are liars. If they know the truth and they're still lying, then hey, that's even worse. Okay. And that's the reality, folks. And I think we need to know these things, especially as we're just coming out of celebrating our nation's independence. Our nation has a lot to be proud of, but if we want to defeat the enemies of our liberties, of our nation, of our families, of our churches, we've got to have truth as the foundation. We need to understand the history. We need to read the primary source documents and not rely on the fake media and the indoctrination centers posing as schools to be able to discern the truth, okay? Critical, guys. And one more thing I want to mention about things that are happening in evangelical world that is so significant. The Southern Baptist Convention, the largest Protestant denomination in the United States, they've got something like 15 million members across 15 million members across 50,000 churches all across America, primarily across the South, but all over the country. They passed at their annual convention last month an incredible resolution dealing with the murder of unborn babies. And the leadership actually tried to prevent this measure from being heard, and they used a parliamentary trick to get it heard. And you really should read this whole resolution. It is absolutely incredible. And it has applications way beyond just the murder of unborn babies. They say that abortion is a crime against humanity. It's a murder, and it must be immediately recriminalized and abolished without any exceptions. Okay, and they go on to argue. They say that we demand the immediate abolition of abortion without exception or compromise. By far the strongest resolution on the murder of unborn babies that I've ever seen from any Christian denomination. They call for churches and pastors to repent if they have been involved in this in any way or even have not been fighting it appropriately. And they make some interesting constitutional arguments as well. I mean, they point out that, you know, God says murdering people is wrong, especially murdering babies. That means we have an obligation to prevent this. The purpose of government is to punish evil. How can we say our government is punishing evil if they're not even punishing the murder of the most innocent among us? But they go on to say that it was unconstitutional. Roe versus Wade was unconstitutional. So we'll be back on the other side of this break. We're going to be bringing in Misha, and I'll wrap up this resolution. Stay tuned, folks. My name is Alex Newman, filling in for Daniel Brigman. This is the Power Hour. We will be right back.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, You know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optavita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Power Hour J. We've been spring cleaning at the Power Mall. We have an overstock of Grown by Nature supplements, and we'd like to offer you 25% off of select products. Hurry, the sale will only be available while supplies last. No code necessary to shop at thepowermall.com, or you can call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's thepowermall.com or 877-817-9829.
And welcome back, everybody. This is Alex Newman. I'm guest hosting for my friend Daniel Brigman. This is the Power Hour. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for staying with us over the break. If you're just tuning in, we left off on the other side of the break before we went to commercials, talking about this new resolution that was just adopted by the Southern Baptist Convention, the largest Protestant denomination in America. And, you know, a lot of religious arguments, a lot of biblical arguments for why the murder of unborn children must be stopped. But one of the things that I thought was really interesting, and this, again, has applications way beyond the slaughter of unborn babies, is the constitutional arguments they made. They actually pointed out that the Supreme Court had no authority to rule here. They said, and I'm quoting from the text of the resolution, in 1973, the Supreme Court of the United States rendered an iniquitous decision on Roe versus Wade, and in doing so, deprived the innocent of their rights and usurped God, who sovereignly ordained their authority. They said the Supreme Court of the United States subverted the U.S. Constitution, namely the preamble, as well as the Fifth and Fourteenth Amendments, without any legal authority. And they point to Article 6, Clause 2, the Supremacy Clause, which, of course, points out that only laws and treaties made in pursuance thereof, talking about constitutional laws, are allowed and are supreme over state laws. So they argued that the Supreme Court usurped authority and made an unconstitutional ruling in Roe versus Wade. And as such, they said that governing authorities at every level, that means state and local governments as well, have an obligation to nullify this iniquitous Supreme Court decision. And, I mean, this is really powerful stuff, guys. They basically bring in the doctrine of the lesser magistrates, which calls on lesser magistrates like governors, sheriffs in America, for example, to interpose on behalf of, their constituents, in this case also, unborn babies. And they actually make clear that state governments and governors and sheriffs have a duty to do this. And they even invoke some of the founding fathers, both James Madison, the father of our Constitution, and Thomas Jefferson, the father of our Declaration of Independence. They both said that states have a duty to nullify unconstitutional actions by the federal government. That means refusing to tolerate them. The federal government, if the Supreme Court usurps power and says, hey, everybody has a right to murder their baby, then the state has an obligation to step in and say, no, sorry. In our jurisdiction, anyone who murders babies is still going to jail, is still going to be prosecuted, and is still going to be punished extremely severely. So there are some states where this movement is moving along faster than in others. Oklahoma is at the front of the line. But it's incredibly important, guys. I wanted to make you aware of this because the fake media is not going to tell you about it. Even, unfortunately, a lot of the Christian media is not talking about this, partly probably because they don't know. But this Southern Baptist Convention resolution on abolishing abortion is huge. It is hugely significant. So spread the word, read it for yourself, and recognize that this applies to many other things too, not just the murder of unborn babies. It applies across a whole range of issues, right? If the Supreme Court says you don't have a right to own a firearm anymore, baloney, right? The Supreme Court doesn't get to rule on that. God gave us our rights, not the Supreme Court. That includes our right to life, as we talked about before the break, right? As Sam Adams put in the rights of the colonists, the Bible makes clear, God gave us a right to life. God gave us a right to property. God gave us a right to liberty, and God gave us a right to protect these things. So, I want to bring on my friend Misha Popoff. He is, a very interesting fellow. He has been on this program before. I know because I was talking to the producer. He's like, oh, I have Misha in my system already. So I want to bring on Misha. He is a great guy. He's a freelance writer. He's a friend of mine. I went to go visit him last time I was in Dallas, or maybe not last time, but when some years ago when I was passing through Dallas. He also used to be an inspector, an organic inspector for the USDA. And as far as I'm concerned, I almost appreciate all these government bureaucracies, because if they say don't do something, I'm like, oh, that's probably good for you. If they say to do something, I'm like, oh, good indication that that's dangerous and probably not a good idea. So, Misha, thank you so much for being on. Hopefully we can keep you for 20 or 25 minutes if you've got the time. Thank you for coming on. And I want to start talking about this COVID stuff, right? The same government that told us that Chinese junk is organic and put their seal of approval on it is now telling us that these vaccines are probably safe and effective, so we're going to give them an emergency use authorization. What do you think? Should we trust the FDA?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. We should trust them to do the wrong thing. So if they say wear your seatbelt, well, goodness, don't wear your seatbelt anymore. Although I do support that, as I know you do with five kids. Yes. So yeah, we've got to strap the kids in. But yeah, I mean, if the FDA or the EPA or USDA, they're all bundled in one in my career. Pretty much, especially in the last 10 years, anything they were saying, you could just do the opposite and you'd be better off. And, you know, before I came on, you were talking about, of course, Roe v. Wade and abortion. And so if I could just broaden out from food and agriculture, my bailiwick briefly. They tricked us, didn't they, Alex? As they're still doing, they tricked us into believing, first of all, that the Supreme Court could sort of override the Constitution or interpret the Constitution in such a way. And we all know the basis of the Roe v. Wade decision, which, as I understand, could be argued only applied to Roe and Wade, didn't apply to anyone else, but let's go with it. It was passed 1973, I think. The basis of it was privacy. Privacy was what they found in the wording that the founding fathers had
in the penumbras of the Constitution. That's where they found it.
In the what?
In the penumbras of the Constitution. Yeah. That's what they wrote in their ruling.
Yeah, yeah. Now, privacy, I mean, is a man on death row entitled to privacy? I mean, no, there is no such thing. So they pretended that privacy was not only hidden somewhere in the verbiage of the Constitution, but let's get this, that it was above God's word. And so when we come to the present now, first, before we come to the present, they also used that, they use that argument to keep Christians from protesting outside of abortion clinics. And we call that the bubble zone. And what's the basis in law for the bubble zone? Well, Alex, it's safety. Safety. Did you know safety was in the Constitution? That all
safety
those,
uber alles.
Yeah, all those brave young Minutemen who went out and, a lot of them got shot and they knew it before they went out. Were they entitled to safety, to sit at home by the fire, you know? No, there's no, like, we like our privacy. We want to be safe. But these aren't really guarantees in the Constitution. I mean, the Constitution guarantees life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, but really safety? You could argue it's the opposite, that in order to preserve life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, you're going to have to forego your safety, Alex, because you and me got to pick up our ARs and head out in the streets tonight to defend our families. Okay. Well, now we come to COVID, and what did they do? Just like they pretended privacy was in the Constitution, and again, that it superseded God's word, and that safety was in the Constitution, so you can't protest outside an abortion clinic. You know, Alex, you might hurt someone. You might grab a woman by the arm and say, hey, Jesus wants you to have your baby. Oh my gosh, Alex, that would be, you would jeopardize that woman's safety if you did that. now with COVID, they're pretending health. Health is in the Constitution. Well, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Maybe. But again, they're pretending it's above God's word. So you were talking about the Southern Baptist Convention. God bless them and God bless the Catholic Church. They are strong on life. I'll give them that. But Alex, where were they on COVID? Where were they on, you know, this idea that health is in the Constitution, that health is in the Bible? I mean, was anyone worried about the prophet's health? Was Moses worried about the Israelites' health when he dragged them out of this perfectly good civilization into the desert for 40 years? I mean, no. Being free and having liberty, pursuing the one true God, these can be dangerous. So yeah, privacy, safety, and health, I think they just made those up out of whole cloth. And again, though, they didn't just pretend they were to be found in the wording of the Constitution, Alex. They pretended that they weren't. They knew they weren't found in the Bible verbatim, so they just pretended they're above the Bible, that there's something above the Word of God. And yeah, shame on the churches. I think your church might have been an exception. Mine wasn't, here in Rockwall, just east of Dallas. They all caved in. They all caved in under the health mandate of the FDA, the CDC, which was created by Coca-Cola in the 1920s. People can look that up. The World Health Organization, which is led by a Marxist-Leninist who murdered people in his home country. They just caved in. And it really, really cheapened God's word in my mind. So just throw it back to you before I start talking about something boring like food. But yeah, I think that's what they did, Alex. It was a slam dunk. They had the Trump card, basically, because so many people, I guess, no longer believe in God. So it was easy for them to pretend that, yeah, killing babies, and now forcing people to take vaccines, it's all more important than God's word, as we find in the Bible, Alex.
Yep, you're absolutely right, Misha. And you know what's funny? Before you came on, I doubt you were listening, but we were talking about America's independence, and I was actually going through some of the primary source documents that our founders wrote, that our founders cited, making exactly that point. Our founders believed government was inseparable from the Word of God. In fact, they recognized that God was the one who established government, and therefore, obviously, government had to be in accordance with God's Word. And in fact, I quoted from William Blackstone, who said that no law that contradicts the Word of God should be suffered anywhere. It says God's law is binding all over the globe, in all countries, and at all times. No human laws are of any validity if contrary to this. And this is the top legal scholar, the most cited legal scholar by our founding fathers. So it shows you how dumbed down our people have become. And Roe versus Wade, really, I think it shows that as well. I mean, how could we have gone from a Christian, God-fearing, liberty-minded people to a people who could accept that a bunch of goobers in black robes could overturn all of our state laws against the murder of unborn babies, our most helpless and innocent neighbors? It just boggles the mind. And you know what's interesting about Roe versus Wade? It's on such shaky legal ground that even the pro-abortion fanatics, even the people who want to murder more and more babies, recognize that Roe versus Wade is a foundation of sand, and they are going to lose eventually. I think what really needs to happen, and we were talking about this a little bit before we brought you on, is state governments need to step in and say enough of this, right? And Oklahoma is leading the way. They've got an abolition bill there. And this should apply to so many other things, right? We have state governments during the Trump administration say, we're going to be sanctuary this, we're going to be sanctuary that, we're going to be sanctuary for criminals and illegal immigrants. And, you know, you want to do whatever you want, you just come here to California and do it. We'll be a sanctuary city. You've got all these states defying federal statutes on marijuana. You know, I don't care if people want to smoke pot, but it's a perfect example. You got all these liberal states and all these potheads. Oh, I want to smoke weed. We're going to just ignore the federal government. Good, fine. All right, now we need to start creating sanctuary states for unborn babies and sanctuary states for gun rights and sanctuary states for religious liberty, right? When the governor says, you know, we're not going to be obeying these silly ideas from the CDC, then in that state, we're going to say, no, this is a sanctuary state. You can go to church. You can not murder babies. You can have whatever kind of firearm you want. And I think that's really the direction that we need to go. So, Misha, tell us about what's going on in the great state of Texas. I know that is your homeland for now. Tell us, I know there's some good things going on in Texas, but there's also some not so good things. Speaking of Texas and the Southern Baptist Convention, critical race theory is one of those issues that, of course, has come to the fore in Texas. And, you know, the Southern Baptists might have gotten it right on the abortion issue, not so much on critical race theory. But I understand your governor and your legislature passed something to ban critical race theory in government schools, but then they also created a nice big loophole where we can continue indoctrinating children in government schools with CRT. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. It's a perfect example of a ruling from above, which is, yeah, you're right. It's good. It's in principle. But, I mean, teachers, even here in Texas, Alex, are already saying, well, we're going to disobey this because this is so important. You know, they're likening it to the, you know, the desegregation movement of the 60s. Which it's not, and they're pretending that there's a higher moral imperative here. So yeah, it almost doesn't matter what the government decrees in our state legislature, and I've heard the same in other states like Florida, where your governor seemed to come out in defense of things like the family and people's rights, not to be forced to carry, for instance, a vaccine passport. But yeah, there's always a loophole. There's always a loophole. And even when there isn't a loophole, like I say, the rank and file, the administration and the teachers, all you need is like 10 or 20% of them to poison the student body. And, so yeah, you know, it's funny. You were just saying, even pro-abortion activists, they recognize the shaky ground that Roe v. Wade is. You know who agreed with that assessment, Alex? Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yep.
She said it was probably too much all at once. Now, she's going in the opposite direction of you and me and the Southern Baptist Convention. God bless them and the Catholic Church. she's going in the opposite. She wanted us to gradually get used to the idea of murdering babies, Alex. That was her position. She wasn't there when they passed that ruling, you know, and she looked back upon it and said, you know, maybe a little too much too soon, trying to get someone to buy a car when they're not ready yet. You're just gonna scare them away. So she thinks in her psychology that the reason over half of America, thank God, still opposes abortion, it's probably closer to 60 or 70%, but you get all these exceptions. Oh, what if it's incest or rape? And oh yeah, how many abortions are committed because of that? Like 0.001%. In any case, yeah, you always get people who are confused. I'd say it's like 60, 70% of Americans are opposed to abortion. She thinks the reason is because we didn't, you know, boil the frog. We just went ahead and threw the frog in the boiling water, and it hopped out on the stove and hopped away. The majority of us are opposed. Well, the same thing applies, sorry to veer off the topic, the same thing to the imposition of critical race theory. Yep, too much too soon. They should have boiled the frog, Alex, because then maybe, you know, by the time our grandkids grow up, they would be accustomed to the idea. Of course, that's a horrible idea, but you get what I'm saying. Too much too soon. Well, by that same token, our governor here, Greg Abbott, God bless him, he's done a lot of good thing on gun rights, and I think he's sort of stood firm on pro-life, not as firmly as our previous governor. In any case, yeah, God bless him. In principle, he's doing the right thing, but again, it's too much too soon. You have to change people's hearts and minds. So Ruth Bader Ginsburg, of all people, realized that, again, going in the wrong direction. So to respond to my assessment, I'm wondering, well, for instance, why doesn't our governor do something like fire some administrators, give them, you know, a litmus test. God knows that they would do it to us, wouldn't they, Alex?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Give them a litmus test. Say, where do you stand on critical race theory? Just put it to them, you know, and say, look, you've got all this experience and all these letters after your name. These people always get masters and PhDs in education, you know, so they can teach 8 and 9 year olds, Alex. In any case, yeah, he can say to them, look, you've got all this experience at work here for whatever school board. You got all these letters after your name. Why don't you get the hell out of here and go do something else with your life? And probably most of them will land on their feet, you know. Not that I would care if they became poor and homeless. But, yeah, no, I don't wish ill will against even my enemies, of course. Got to keep reminding myself of that. But, yeah, it's too much too soon. What our governor should have done was started the process before critical race theory even came up. You know, like when he became governor, what is it, 4 or 5 years ago? That's he should have started a process of, well, I'll just say it, Alex. I'll just say it, Your Honor. Re-Christianizing Texas. I mean, that was the basis of this state. You know, by the way, people say that America stole Texas from the Mexicans. Well, it was the Spanish Empire. And we didn't steal anything. I say we because I live here. We just moved into an empty territory along with some Indians, Navajo, and some Mexicans who are still here. Their roots go back, you know, a couple hundred years. And yeah, when the opportunity came up, this region, this territory joined the Union. So in any case, yeah, nothing was stolen. But yeah, why can't a governor look beyond his nose? I'm glad your governor said no vaccine passports, but why didn't he do that on day one? You know what I mean? And then do a bunch of other things in the meantime. And instead, it's like we're waiting for the serve. We're waiting. We're playing a game of tennis and we're waiting for the serve from the enemy. I say just throw your racket across the net, hit him in the head. You know, what are you waiting for?
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it is time to try some different tactics. Obviously, what conservatives have been trying for decades has failed to stem the tide, and now we're moving faster than ever before into tyranny and absolute and total madness. And, of course, the Supreme Court has helped drive this crazy train to the point where we're just about to go over the cliff. So what else is on your mind, Misha? What have you been working on? I know you write for a number of different publications. I think Culture Wars is one of them. What's been on your radar? What are some of the key issues, whether from the Beijing Biden administration or the COVID front or the election fraud? What are some of the things that you're monitoring right now?
Well, this might surprise you. I'm not worried about Biden. People keep saying, you know, of course he's in the pocket of the Chinese. My goodness, just like Bill Clinton was. I think
yep.
Clinton was probably worse.
Yeah.
He literally handed technology secrets to them. Now Biden might be doing that, but Alex, the Chinese, just like the Israelis, probably like the Russians, they have access to whatever they want through back doors that are built into every government computer throughout the bureaucracy. I'm more worried about the Supreme Court. We just mentioned Ruth Bader Ginsburg, God rest her soul, though I'm not sure he has anything to say about her anymore. I think she's somewhere else, but I'll keep that opinion to myself. But you can see why they got rid of Antonin Scalia, can't you? Last man standing is Judge Clarence Thomas. Judge Roberts was gone years ago. Like I say, don't even worry about Biden. He's a moron. And whatever the Chinese wanted, they already got. So, and now we're supposed to be excited because Trump made, you know, an unprecedented 3 appointments to the Supreme Court. What is it? Kavanaugh, that Catholic woman, and Gorsuch.
Amy Cohen Barrett, I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And all three of them have failed us repeatedly. I mean, to say
yes,
nothing of the challenging the election results. Goodness, you know, you'd think that was Trump's ace in the hole. Oh my goodness, you might think his vice president was his ace in the hole because he held the gavel that day on January 6th. But no, it all came to naught. It's like having a secret weapon and you're ready to roll it out into battle, and the tires are flat. Can we pump up the tires? Who was in charge of pumping up the tires on those three Supreme Court appointments and Mike Pence? No one. So we've got Clarence Thomas, and that's it. That's it.
And we all have to pretend that Clarence Thomas doesn't exist because he's conservative and he's black, and therefore he can't possibly exist because that would contradict all of the left-wing talking points. So what do you do?
Not only that, but I think it was PBS canceled his biography.
Yes.
They were going to run a miniseries, and yeah, he has a fantastic story to tell. As anyone who reaches that level probably does. But you know, his whole the whole debate over whether he had sexually assaulted his one of his interns. Well, goodness, how ironic that within the decade we would have that same debate over one of our presidents who did. No one doubts it. I mean, to this day, no one knows if Clarence Thomas said something untoward to Anita Hill or if he put his hand on his shoulder. But we know this, Alex. He never had sex with her, did he? But and yet he's still under that cloud to this day. But yeah, I think, PBS canceled him not because of that. They were going to give him his fair shake on that. He was going to have his say to explain his side of the story, as he's done many times. But they went ahead and canceled him because, as I said, he's the last man standing on the Supreme Court, Judge Clarence Thomas. So we've had all these horrible rulings. More to the point, they've refused to hear cases, including on transgender, giving hormone therapy to kids. And yes, on the election results, they just denied even hearing the case, giving it its day in court. Now, what's interesting, of the three Trump appointees, Alex, it was always like one of them would say yes in favor of our, you know, let's call it a Christian conservative position, and then two would say no, and then the next time they'd switch. And one way or another, we've got nothing out of them. Nothing out of Trump's three appointments.
Hey, Misha, we are coming up against the break, and I know you've got to leave us, but tell us real quick, what's the best way to find you on the interwebs?
You mentioned it, culturewars.com. They've got my best articles up there. Culturewars.
Excellent. Thank you, Misha Popoff, for being with us. Folks, stay with us. This is Power Hour. We'll be right back.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.